Welcome to the Advanced Brake Lab session. Today we're building a pad swing formula in Ableton Live 12 that gives your saw more impact, more space, and that unmistakable old-school jungle pressure. This is not about making a pretty background pad. This is about turning atmosphere into groove, tension, and low-end support. In jungle and darker DNB, the relationship between the brake, the pad, and the sub is everything. If the pad is too rigid, the tune feels stiff. If it's too big or too low, it steals power from the bass. So the goal here is to make a pad that leans with the rhythm, leaves space for the sub to hit, and adds that late-night, warehouse, tape-worn energy. First, set up a dedicated atmosphere group. Call it Brake Lab ATM, or anything that reminds you this is its own world. Keep it separate from your drums and bass, so you can shape the groove without touching the transients that already give the track its punch. For the source, use something with character. Waveatable works great if you want a synthetic evolving pad. Simpler or sampler are perfect if you want chopped old-school texture, a dusty chord stab, or a resampled noise layer. You can even build from a reversed break tail or a vocal fragment. The cleaner the source, the more work you'll do later to make it sound like it belongs in jungle. Now shape the tone before you think about swing. This is important. The pad should live above the sub, not inside it. So if you're using Waveatable, start with a saw or square-based sound. Keep unison modest, maybe 2 to 4 voices, and keep to tune controlled. Then low pass it so it sits in the upper mid and low mid atmosphere. You're aiming for movement and emotion, not sub weight. If you're using simpler or sampler, shorten the material, loop a slice if it has movement, and maybe pitch it down a few semitones for darker tension. Then add EQ 8 and high pass it fairly aggressively. In a dense drop, that might be around 150 to 200 Hz, sometimes even higher. If it's boxy, dip the low mids. If it's sharp, take a little off the upper mids. The point is to leave the low lane clear for the bass. Now we get into the actual pad swing formula. The core idea is simple. Straight grid, delayed offbeats, shortened tails, and intentional gaps. That's the whole trick. You want the pad to feel like it's leaning into the break, not sitting on top of it like a full chord progression. Write a short 1 or 2 bar MIDI idea. Keep it minimal. Maybe one long hit on the downbeat, then a short answer just after it. Add a delayed note around the offbeat, then leave a hole where the snare needs to speak. Use 1 or 2 extra notes on the ends of the beat if you want more motion, but don't overdo it. In jungle, silence is part of the groove. A gap before the sub lands can feel heavier than adding another note. Here's a useful teacher tip. Build your pad groove against the snare, not against the whole bar. The snare is the anchor in old-school DNB. If your pad lands exactly with everything else, it loses pressure. If it leans just before or just after the snare, it starts to feel alive. To get that feel, manually nudge certain offbeat notes late by maybe 10 to 30 milliseconds. Leave 1 or 2 notes slightly early if you want tension. And don't quantize every hit perfectly. Perfect timing is often the enemy of jungle atmosphere. You can also add Ableton groove. Try a subtle MPC-style groove or even extract the groove from your break and apply it to the pad MIDI clip. Keep the amount low at first. Maybe 10 to 25%. You're not trying to make the pad become the drums. You're just trying to make it breathe with them. Next, shape the envelope for heavyweight sub impact. This is where the pad starts acting like part of the bass arrangement. Use auto filter or instrument envelopes to make the pad open and close around key moments. You can automate the cutoff higher for a swell, then pull it back down before the sub note lands. That way the sub gets the spotlight when it needs to speak. A good practical move is to automate the filter open on tension peaks and close it back before the bass hit. Keep resonance moderate unless you want a sharper old-school whistle-type character. Then add utility and use it to control gain and width. Sometimes just dropping the pad by 1 or 2 dB on the busiest moments is enough to let the bass feel bigger. Width is useful too, but don't let the sides get so wide that the core tone disappears in mono. If you want even more control, sidechain the pad lightly from the kick or sub using compressor. You don't need a huge pump. A couple dB of gain reduction is often enough. The goal is not obvious EDM pumping. The goal is to clear a corridor for the low end. Now think in layers of motion, not just one pad part. A convincing jungle atmosphere usually has two jobs happening at once. One layer breathes with the groove and stays shorter, drier, and more rhythmic. Another layer holds the emotional color and can be wider, slower, and more filtered. Separating those roles makes the whole arrangement feel more stable, and it stops the pad from fighting the sub. This is also where clip envelopes and note lengths come in. Shorten some notes to 1/8 or 1/16 stabs. Let other notes ring longer as tension bids. Vary velocity, so some notes feel like ghosts and others feel more intentional. If you're using Sampler, map a few key parameters to macros like cutoff, attack, drive, and width or reverb send. Then automate those macros so the pad swells before drum hits and narrows when the bass enters. That's the deeper version of swing here. It's not only timing, it's dynamic contour. Now let's dirty it up. For proper jungle atmosphere, the pad needs some grit. Saturator is a great start. Keep it tasteful, maybe a few dB of drive, and use soft clip if needed. Roar is excellent for adding subtle mid-band texture or parallel style character. Echo can also add motion if you keep the feedback low and filter out the lows so the repeats don't clutter the mix. If you want a more classic vibe, a tiny bit of bit reduction or resample degradation can help too, but don't obliterate the tone. A really strong move is to process the pad, resample it, and then chop it again. Once it's printed to audio, you can reverse little fragments, trim the tails, or use parts of it like percussion. That's very much in the spirit of old school jungle. Turning atmosphere into something playable, not just something decorative. Now arrange it against the drums, not just the melody. In the intro, you might have a filtered pad with swing and no sub yet. In the drop, make it shorter and more percussive so it rides around the bass line instead of on top of it. In a switch up, open it wider and let the reverb bloom while the sub simplifies. Then in a busier drop section, make the atmosphere darker and more clipped so it adds tension instead of width. A really effective arrangement move is call and response. When the sub plays a strong phrase, let the pad become shorter and more restrained. When the sub leaves a hole, let the pad swell into that gap. That conversation is what keeps a DNB drop feeling alive. Once the motion feels right, resample the atmosphere group to audio. Solo it, print it to a new audio track, trim it into a clean loop, and if needed, warp carefully, but don't overstretch the groove. After that, you can slice it, reverse a few pieces, or create separate intro and drop versions. This is one of the best workflow habits in Ableton, because it locks in the character and turns a live idea into a reusable asset. Then check the mix in context. The pad should make you feel the track more than hear it. If the low end suddenly feels smaller when the pad enters, the atmosphere is too present. If the drop feels empty without the pad, then maybe the drums and bass are too dry or too static. Keep the pad high-passed, keep the stereo controlled, and check mono early. Jungle pads can sound massive wide and then disappear or phase out in mono, so always test that core tone still holds up. A few common mistakes to watch for. Don't let the pad lave too low. Don't make it so rhythmic that it competes with the drums. Don't drown it in reverb. Don't ignore the snare pocket. And don't overwiden the whole thing just because it sounds big in solo. Wider is not always heavier. Clean mono compatibility and clear low mids will usually hit harder. If you want to push this even further, try a ghost chord call and response. Write one main chord, then add tiny answer notes a 16th or an 8th later on a second lane, quieter and more filtered. Or try half bar displacement. Duplicate the pattern, shift it by half a bar, strip it down to just a few notes, and keep it low in the mix. That kind of unstable offset is pure dark jungle pressure. You can also make the atmosphere follow the break more closely by automating filter or amplitude around the strongest transients. Open a little on the snare, close during the kick-heavy sections. That makes the pad feel embedded inside the drum performance instead of floating above it. Here's the mini practice challenge. Build one 8-bar atmosphere loop. Use Waveatable, Sampler, or Simpler. Write only 3 to 5 note events across 2 bars. Nudge the offbeats late by 10 to 30 milliseconds. High pass it. Add a touch of saturation. Automate the filter so it opens before the snare and closes before the sub hit. Sidechain it lightly. Then resample it and make one more version that's more reverb heavy for the intro, and one that's drier for the drop. Compare them against the same break and sub. The right version is the one that makes the low end feel bigger, not the one that sounds biggest by itself. So remember the core formula. Controlled low end, smart swing, intentional silence, subtle ducking, and just enough dirt to make it feel like it came from the same emotional world as the break. In DNB, the heaviest moments often come from what you remove and where you place the tension. Keep the atmosphere moving, keep the sub clear, and let the groove do the heavy lifting.